Good morning. How are we doing? Great to see everyone here today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Welcome to week 6 of Colossians, discerning truth in a world of fake news. So we're moving towards the end of our Colossians series. We have a few more weeks left here, kind of on the tail end of this. And today, what I want to talk about is unity in a world that divides and separates. So I don't know about you, but I kind of noticed that it seems like so often our culture tries to divide and separate us. Anyone else notice this? And we could use unity and love more than ever. Anyone else see that? This side over here. That's why you're sitting over here. You're like, oh, we want no part of them. Now, today what we're going to do is I'll give a sermon, and then we're going to do a baby dedication. Seems like the norm here at Awaken these days, is it not? Baby dedications. I think we've had, 7 or 8 babies born about the past year here at Awaken. Must be in the water. Now, let's get started here, because there's a lot of ground to cover. So, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to pick it up right in verse 11. And what Paul is talking about, this is a letter that Paul is writing to a group of young Christians. And what Paul's writing about here is this new life in Christ. He's talking about the new humanity. He's talking about this whole new way of living and seeing the world. So it's a new humanity, but I would argue that it's really more in line with our truest selves. Paul's speaking about the true humanity, what it means to be human, what it means to be fully you. And so Paul goes into this, and then he sort of ends here. If we go back actually one slide, I believe. There we go. So here, there is no, in this new humanity, in this new reality, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. All right, I'm laughing because I just saw something for the first time, and I'll get there in a minute, okay? Oh, that is, wow. Okay, so as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul starts out here giving a whole bunch of classifications. Ways in which the world was divided at the time. If you go one forward here, he says, in this new reality in Christ, there's no Gentile or Jew. There's no Greek or Jew. Now, in the ancient world in the first century, if you were a good Greek, you would believe that you were part of the privileged class. And you would look down upon everyone else, because they weren't Greek like Anthony.
It is true.
See? Can't make this stuff up. So if you were Greek, you're like, we are part of this noble class, our heritage. We are up here, and everyone else is down below us. Now, if you were part of the Jewish community, you believe this way as well. You believe that you were part of God's chosen people. And that's actually why I laugh, because Paul uses the same language here. You were chosen. It's almost like he's doing the very thing that he's trying to combat. So I find that really interesting. But for the Jewish community, they would have looked down on everyone else because they were saying, we are God's elect. We are God's chosen. You're not Jewish like us. This was a way in which people could distinguish who was of a higher ranking than someone else. Circumcised, uncircumcised. Again, this was another marker to know whether you were part of the Jewish community or the Gentile or Greek community. And you would be able to determine, oh, this person's not like us, because if you're in the boys' locker room and everyone doesn't look the same, oh, they must be of a second tier. And then barbarians. This was not a nice term. This was a derogatory term that was used in order to speak about people who were not Greek. This is an insult. You do not want to be called a barbarian in the first century. You do not want to be called a barbarian in the 21st century. Now, the Scythians, they were almost like the worst of the worst of the barbarians. They were from the Black Sea area. And the Scythians, this is what Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, says about them. If we go to the next slide. Now, as to the Scythians, they take pleasure in killing men. And they differ little from brute beasts. This is not someone you want to take home to mom and dad. You're not going to be like, hey, I was hanging out with Joe the Scythian the other day. Is it cool for him to come over for meatloaf on Friday night? No, not going to happen. And then Paul gives another distinction here, slave or free. People who were owned by someone else versus those who didn't have to answer to anyone. So in the first century, there was a lot of arrogance. If you were part of a certain class, there was a lot of prejudice towards those who didn't look like you, sound like you, come from the same part of the world as you. Now I know this is the first century. This kind of stuff doesn't happen today, in the 21st. And then what Paul says here, after all these distinctions, he goes on and he says, all that essentially has no place here in the new reality. In Christ, all the ways in which you divide and separate, they're simply illusions. And they have no place in this new life of Christ that you have been given. All the ways in which you divide and separate and look down at others who aren't like you, that has no place here in this community. And then he goes on and he says, therefore, clothe yourself. Go to the next slide. With compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. Here is actually a better, a new way to be human. And what is the one quality that binds all of these together? It's love. Almost as if love is the driving force behind compassion and kindness, humility. If you do not have love, well, then you won't have compassion, humility. You won't be able to forgive. Almost as if this new reality, this new way of living, this way of living which connects you deeply with who you've been created to be, it all starts with love. Now, Paul, a chapter before, he actually says something quite similar. So let's turn back a chapter to chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul writes here, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. Okay, really quick. So when I got together a couple of months ago with some people and said, hey, what is it that you notice about Colossians? Someone picked this verse out and was like, how hard can Paul be contending? He's in jail. So whatever that means, whatever Paul's doing here, he's contending in a certain way, whether he's pacing like shadow boxing around his jail cell, whatever he's doing, maybe he's like prayer boxing. Anyone prayer box here? I don't know, maybe it's a new YouTube sensation. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and all those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. For my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. One of Paul's major goals in writing this letter is that the Colossians would be united in love. Paul is willing to undergo persecution, imprisonment, even death, because of his great love, because of his desire that those that he is speaking to, those that he's writing to, those that he is trying to have an impact on their lives, so that they would be united in love. and so that they can experience the radical, transformative power of God. Now, why is this so compelling? Why is this such a compelling reason for Paul? So that the Colossians, actually, before we get here, the Colossians may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God. There's actually, I think the NRSV gets at this Greek a little bit better. The reason why he wants them to be united is so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding. In other words, when the Colossians experience love, then and only then will they have assurance in the power of God. When the Colossians come to experience love, not just when love is something that's talked about, but when love is embodied and felt and experienced, the Colossians will find a firmness and assurance of their faith. Almost as like, you can't experience God, you can't know God unless you have experienced love. The way in which we fully know who God is, the way in which we begin to understand who God is, starts by experiencing moments of love. And so Paul says, for me, my goal is that this community here would be united together in love. This community here would experience love together, because if they're able to in some way experience love, they will have greater assurance in God. Think about this. Oftentimes, do you ever hear people who will say, well, the reason why I don't believe in God, the reason why I have a hard time believing is God because of all the division and all the hate that we see in the world today. The way in which the world, the way in which the church, the way in which each one of us and all of your friends and your family and your neighbors will experience God is when they see a community, a group of people who put aside all their differences, all the things that can so easily divide, and when they come together to love one another. This is the way in which our world will experience the radical, inclusive power of God. See, Paul is writing to a group of people who have formed a community. We would call this type of community today a church. And what Paul believes is that the church is to be the most inclusive, the most welcoming, the most loving community on the block. Now, this goes for people who would consider themselves to be members of the church, but that love is to be extended to all those who don't consider themselves to be members of a church. The way in which any of us, the way in which anyone will experience the power of God is by seeing a community who comes together to love each other and to love the world. This is why here at Awaken, we are so intentional about our community life and the type of community that we are forming here in Westchester. We want, as soon as you walk through the door here, whether you're a first-time visitor, whether you've been here for months or for years, that you would truly feel loved. This is why we have greeters in the front when you walk in. And I hope that you felt loved by our greeters this morning. Yes. Who is greeting today? Laura, yes, thank you. Was Debbie greeting too? Yes. Awesome. Yeah, this is why greeting is so important, because we want maybe you had an awful car ride here. Maybe you were just thinking about some things. Maybe you got a really bad phone call, whatever the case might be. But when you walk through the doors, we want our greeters with their big smiling faces. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. And whatever happened outside, whatever you're bringing in with you, we just want to help you set that aside for a few moments, so that you can feel the power of God at work in your life, so that you can hear and feel whatever it is that you need to hear this morning. This is why we actually spend a couple of minutes in the middle of our service greeting each other, because we really believe in communal life. We really believe in greeting each other, people that maybe we haven't seen in a week, maybe people that we've never met before. This is why our community groups are so important, because it's a way for us to share life with other people, to be on the journey together, to encourage one another. This is why our events of just getting together, whatever it might be, for no other reason than just social interactions, this is why they are so important and why we're so intentional about planning them. This is why events like Harlem Grown matter to us. Because in a way, as we come together, we have an opportunity to rub shoulders with each other, but then also to show the world love. That we're not just on the sidelines, but we want to get our hands dirty. See, for us here at Awaken, love isn't just an idea, but love is something that we strongly desire to live out. Love isn't just some nice philosophy that we talk about, but love is something that we truly desire to embody, because we believe that this is what Jesus calls us to do. Now, I understand loving people can be difficult, especially when it's people that don't look or think or smell the same as you. But apparently, we aren't the first ones who have had difficulty loving each other. I think this is the reason why Paul puts such a diverse list together here in the beginning. He looks, yeah, according to the world, there's every reason possible that you shouldn't be in community together. There's every reason you can think of why you shouldn't sit down together at the same table. But what Paul is saying is, my prayer for you is that you would set that all aside, because as you do, you will experience the transformative power of God. It's easy for us to love people who look the same as we do. It's easy for us to love people who believe the same as we do, who vote the same way that we do. It's much harder to love people when they share a completely different worldview than you. Yet this is exactly what Paul is inviting the Colossians to do. This is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do, to love all people, period. No exceptions. Now, for me, there has been a truth that has tremendously helped me in loving all people, especially people that are different than me. And in order to get to this truth, though, I need to show you a video. I need to show you a song. And then we'll talk about this song in a minute, but just sit down and enjoy.
Father's sending me to finishing school. I don't know what my future will be. I do.
I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me, that I call my own. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. It all sounds crazy. They can they can say we lost our minds. I don't care if they call us crazy. Run away to a world that we desire.
Now, why did I show you that video? Besides the fact that it's Jonathan Shue's favorite song from The Greatest Showman. What a great song. What did you feel as you were watching that video? Don't be shy. You just shout it out. Startled. Motivation, love, joy, hope. What was not sadness, commitment, possibility, love, generosity, innocence. What did you say, Gina?
Perseverance.
Okay, so we just threw out like 10, 12 different ways in which this video made us feel. Let's pick two of them. So hope. How many of you were watching this and you felt a sense of hope well up within you? All right, a good amount of us. A couple people said love. What about love? How many of you, as you were watching this, just felt love? Yeah. Many of us. Commitment, perseverance. How many there? Motivation. See, here's the brilliant thing that happens when we watch a video like this. We've all had different experiences in life. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different particulars that we are going through. Yet we have all, as we were watching this video, felt deeper universal truths that were beneath the surface of our particular experiences. See, my hope is that as you were watching this video, that certain feelings and thoughts began to arise within you, and it connected you to experiences that you've had in life, or to things that you're thinking about, or things that you're currently experiencing. Maybe for some of you, you really connected with the idea of loss that was there. As you noticed, his father passed away when he was so young, and there he is at the grave, grabbing his father's top hat and putting it on his head. And so you watched that video. You watch that scene about loss, and it made you think about a loss that you've experienced in life. Or maybe you saw the scene where he grabs the bread, he gets thrown against the wall, and then he gets the bread, his only food, ripped from his hands, and he's left there lying on the floor, abandoned for a moment. And it's made you think about all the times in life when it was as if you had been kicked to the side. And you began to ask and wonder, is anyone on my side? See, the thing about the great storytellers, songs do this, books do this, movies do this, speakers do this, the greatest are able to take a particular experience and connect it to the deeper universal truths which then connects you to your particular experiences. See, the thing is that under all of our particular feelings, thoughts, we're all the same. And we all long for and desire the same things in life. On the surface, easy to divide and separate and look at someone, oh, they're different than me. But underneath our differences, we are all the same. We all want to experience love and belonging. We all want a place where we can be accepted simply for who we are. We all have hopes, things that we long for. We all have fears. We all have dreams. We all have regrets. Things in life that we wish had gone different. We all want to live a life of deep satisfaction and fulfillment. On the surface, it's so easy. Our world reminds us all the time of all the ways in which we can easily divide, whether it's gender, race, sexuality, religion, our country of origin, our voting preference. And what Paul says here is, those are just all false human constructs. Ways in which you humans have decided to divide and separate the world so that you can feel better about yourself, so that you can feel more pride about your particular tribe. But under the surface, we're all the same. We're all the same, and we all long for and desire the same things. See, for me, this truth that has helped me tremendously in loving other people, if we go to the next slide, when we are able to see our shared humanity, we are able to love. When I forget this truth, I begin to think of myself as better than other people. When I forget this truth, I begin to look down my nose at others and think, oh, they're not as good as I am. They don't deserve the same things that I have. They don't deserve my love. They're not worthy of my love or my acceptance. But when I'm reminded, when I stop and I think, wow, we're all after the same things in life. And the way in which they're potentially acting, the way in which they're acting out, maybe it has to do with a past wound. Past wounds that I have as well that caused me to act out in certain ways that I'm sure others have judged me and looked at me and said, oh, Dave, what's wrong with that guy? But see, we all have those wounds in life that cause us to put up a shell and protect ourselves. But when we're able to see our shared humanity, we are then able to see everyone for the person that they are, someone who is just as deserving of love and grace and acceptance as yourself. See, this is why Paul, again, he puts such a diverse list together here. You've looked down your nose at the Greeks, and you've set aside the Jewish community thinking they're not as good as you, and you've called others barbarians. You've even ostracized the Scythians, and yeah, maybe they act a little awkward, a little weird, but in reality, underneath the surface, they're the same as you. And as a follower of Jesus, you're to extend to them the same love that you yourself long for. See, I think Jesus modeled this perfectly. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Humanize your enemies. Don't just look at them as someone who's an other, but try to understand them. Try to understand where they're coming from, If you see them as an enemy of yours, can you sit down at the table with them without getting into fisticuffs? And can you maybe listen for a minute? Can you set aside your agenda, your bias, your prejudice, just to hear them for a minute, to hear where they're coming from, to hear their story? And then can you take a minute to share your story? Because maybe in the sharing of your stories, you'll find some common ground. Maybe in the sharing of your stories together, you'll find some shared humanity. Our world doesn't do this well. Our culture doesn't do this well. Turn on any news station. What's the goal? I almost think the goal of every news station is the opposite of Paul's goal. It's to divide. The world needs more than ever people who will set aside arrogance of their tribe, prejudice against others, in order to work for unity, for reconciliation, for healing. If you read through the book of Colossians, look at how many times this phrase, all things, comes up. It's again and again and again, because Paul is saying the work that Christ has been doing and is continuing to do is a work for all people, for all things. Christ is in all things. Christ is reconciling all things. And we as the church have been called to work for that same goal. And the way it starts is by seeing our common shared humanity and realizing we are all the same under the surface. So I'm going to pray here for us this morning, and then I'm going to call up Kate, Alex, and Hannah. And I think a baby dedication is such a great way for us to embody love as a community. Because when we do a baby dedication, this isn't just something that Kate and Alex are doing. They're saying, yeah, sure, they're coming forward and they're saying, we want to dedicate Hannah to God. But it's also them coming up here and saying, and we want your help as well. We want your support as a community to help us raise Hannah as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus. So I think this is just a perfect way for us to show love to this family this morning. So let me pray here for us, and then they'll come up. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that we can be together here in this room. God, that we can celebrate the work of Christ. God, this work that unites us together. God, we all come from different backgrounds, even us together here in this room. And the fact that we can share the same space, God, that we can share the same community together. God, I thank you for the power of God that is at work, despite all the differences that our world throws out there at us. And so, God, I ask that as a community, that we would be people known for our love. God, that we would be people known for our love here on a Sunday morning, but also how we interact and treat others on a daily basis. God, as the work of Christ is a work of reconciliation, a work of uniting that which has been divided and separated, God, I ask that you would give us visions of how we can continue that work in our lives. God, may we be people who see our common humanity in others. God, may we not look at our differences, may we not focus on differences, but God, may we focus on that which we have in common. And God, I pray that as we listen to others, God, as we hear others' stories, God, that your Spirit would break down any walls, any barriers. God, and that the power of Christ that brought this diverse community together in the first century would be at work, bringing healing and love and transformation and salvation to our world today. So may we be the people who strive for that. God, may we be the people who, in a world of division, seek a different way, a more loving way. So we pray, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.